This is Jason Stacy. It is the 10th of February, 2017. I'm here with Paul Brazier. We are doing an oral history for Madison Historical, the online encyclopedia and digital archive of Madison County. And we're going to talk about bike culture in the 1980s with Paul Brazier, who is popularly known as the Bike Whisperer of Madison County. So let's get started. Paul, you worked for a now famous bike shop called the Pedal Shop in the 1980s. Why don't you tell me a little bit how you got started there and what it was like to work there and what you did?
Yeah, I started working there in the summer of 1980. I was a freshman in high school, beginning out just doing some menial things around the shop, cleaning up, doing trash, doing windows and things like that. Eventually moved into doing some basic repairs, flat tires, tune-ups and things like that, assembling bikes. And as I went through high school and through college, I still worked at the shop and moved all the way up to the ranks to managing and running the store when I left in 1992.
Good. So you were there about 12 years.
Yes.
So tell me about some of the merchandise you had, some of the merchandise you moved, some of the popular stuff that you were selling. What was it like to run a bike shop in the 1980s?
It was a lot of fun, first off. I had a great time doing it. Since I was a little bit younger, the focus of mine was more in the BMX bicycles, which is bicycle motocross. There was racing all in this area for that, and nothing really on this side of the river, but there were three tracks on the St. Louis side of the river, and a lot of the kids that were, you know, 8 years old up to 15, 16 years old were spending weekends racing the BMX bikes. So that was a big part of the business at that time. And then also were just the regular family bikes, road bikes, cruisers, three speeds and things for just casual riding. In the 80s, there wasn't a huge cross section of different kinds of bikes. You pretty much had kids bikes and you had 10 speed bikes to sell. Of course, there were highline racing bikes for those that wanted to actually race on the road and such. But in this area, it wasn't a huge thing at that time.
So, you know, since you brought it up, let's talk about BMX bikes a little bit, because I see a lot of kids today riding around on BMX bikes in Edwardsville, and, you know, a lot of them, the bikes seem to have kind of street tires on them, and they've got the saddles way down on them, and it looks like a lot of fashion to me. It doesn't look like these kids are doing a lot of racing, but I don't know. Can you tell me maybe some of about the BMX bikes, a little bit about BMX culture in Madison County in the St. Louis area, and tell me a little bit about the bikes maybe.
Okay, well, the bikes you see today are completely different than what we were looking at in the 70s and 80s. The bikes back in the 70s and 80s were more designed for off-road racing on a track. Basically, if you've ever seen a motorcycle off-road track, a BMX track is a miniature version of it. It's how those bikes were popular. They had knobby tires for the dirt. They're pretty lightweight and such, but a lot of different design than what you would find today. Today's bikes are more designed for doing tricks, stunts, and things like that, and not necessarily built for racing on the off-road.
And were there a lot of kids, you know, Edwardsville was a very different town back in the 70s and 80s. Were there a lot of kids riding around on BMX bikes in little gangs like I see them today? Was it the same sort of culture here in Edwardsville as I see among the 13-year-old set today?
You know what? Yeah, it was. I was kind of in on that type of thing at my age when I was doing the BMX stuff. We rode around town in groups looking for places to jump our bikes and find some dirt to race on or whatever. But yeah, that type of thing still was popular, where the kids that were riding those types of bikes were banding together in groups and doing stuff like that, like they do today. The difference is now that there are maybe some places for those guys to go do tricks, but for the BMX guys like I was, it was the getting ready to go race on the weekends was the big thing.
And you think what helped the change was skateboard culture? I see a lot more of the tricks. They look like street tricks that they're doing today on the BMX bikes. Was the difference then they were more modeled on sort of motocross racing or something?
Well, the bikes then were, it was more like motorcycle motocross. It was that style. Now, like I said, the bikes are more designed to do tricks. So like skateboarding that you brought up and stuff, you know, has a lot to do with it because those guys will ride those bikes at a skateboard park and do some of the, try to do some of the same tricks as the skateboarders do also. So yeah, the skateboarders and the kind of the guys riding the 20-inch BMX style bikes now are kind of hang out together a lot, I think.
Well, you also mentioned recreational riding, and you know, right now Edwardsville, I see a lot of recreational riders on hybrid bikes. I see them out on the trails. And the hybrid bikes to me look like a combination of a just a street bike or a city bike and a sporty bike, something maybe to give you some speed that you might even put some spandex on and try to ride. But I know that's pretty new. What kind of recreational bikes were you selling back in the 80s when you were at the pedal shop?
In the 80s, really, the recreational stuff would have been more of a three-speed bike with fenders and not really a fat tire on it at all, just a regular, you know, a normal width tire, just something that basically gets you around. You know, it was kind of an interesting culture back then. You didn't have a whole lot of choices of what you got to choose from for a bike. You either got a turn down handlebar style 10-speed bike, or you got kind of the recreational 3-speed bike that was a little bit more upright, or you had a kid's type of bike, a BMX bike, or just a banana seat kind of bike. So there wasn't as many choices as they have today. And I think back in the 80s is when pretty much the bike manufacturers really started paying attention a lot more to technological advances and started incorporating that into the bikes. They were going for the lighter weight with different types of materials, aluminum, moving into titanium, and then carbon fiber after that, making the bikes a lot lighter. And of course, the prices were going up at the time too with that. And also, you know, during the 80s, there were some other bike types that started coming into play. Mountain biking started to come in the mid 80s. And then what you were kind of mentioning is more of a hybrid bike, kind of a mix between a road bike and a mountain bike, which kind of gave you a little bit more of an upright riding position, but you also had a lot of different gears to go through, and you see a lot of that on the trails today for a more of a recreational style bicycle. It's more comfort, but yet it's you can still cover quite a bit of ground, and it's not you know, the big fat knobby tire that's vibrating you to death either while you ride, if you want to ride quite a bit of mileage.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the trails, because I love the trails here in Edwardsville and in Madison County. I use them for transportation and I use them for entertainment, recreation. But I imagine those trails didn't exist yet in the 1980s, or if they did, what was recreational riding like here in Edwardsville for your customers when you were working at the pedal shop?
Yeah, the bike trails that we find in Madison County now had not even probably even been thought of. They were still railroad in use, railroad lines that, you know, had, you know, trains on them all the time, up until probably the mid 90s is when they started, I think, abating those trails and turn the train right-of-ways and turning them into trails. So in the 80s in this area, there really wasn't any marked bicycle trails to actually ride. Closest thing you could probably get was to maybe go up to Alton and ride the River Road from Alton to Grafton, or maybe up to Pier Marquette. That was probably, in this area, the only really designated bicycle trail that you could use. At SIU campus, had some trails on the campus itself for use, but there was really no connectors to it or anything like that, so you were riding streets until you could get onto one of the trails. The main trail entrance, I believe, for SIU was off of St. Louis Street, and it's actually closed now. It's not even a usable trail any longer. So, but that has totally expanded tremendously, as we all know how you know, our trail system here now is in Madison County is incredible. It's probably pretty much second to none in the state for sure, and probably one of the best systems in the whole country for recreational riding.
So was that way to get on SIUE campus, was that the Old Morris Trail that they just recently shut down and knocked that bridge down?
Yes, that's what I was referring to. Yeah, it came off and went across the creek and then took you up into campus, up by Tower Lake area and into campus.
That was a pretty rough trail.
Yeah, it was just chat rock or possibly, aggregated lime. It wasn't super nice, and when it was wet, it wasn't nice to ride on. And so it was, it was a way to get to campus without, you know, riding on the busy highway and worrying about, you know, maybe getting clipped by a car either. So
when I go to a bike shop here in Edwardsville today, and I know you sometimes sell some used bikes, you know, you get a lot of adults who just want to buy a hybrid and they want to use it for weekend riding and they want to ride the trails and such. When you were at the pedal shop, if you had, you know, an adult come in who just wanted to do some recreational riding with their family, where would they ride in Edwardsville? What kind of riding could you do on an old three-speed with fenders, like you said, and just wanted to sort of treat a bike like a, you know, piece of recreation to get a little exercise?
Well, mainly you would probably just ride the streets of town. You also have to remember, you know, 30 plus years ago, there was half of the population here in Edwardsville, and so you didn't have as much traffic. The subdivisions weren't really too many subdivisions developed. So, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of, the traffic wasn't here as much as it is now. So, you know, I wouldn't, you know, in the 80s you could ride the streets and not see a lot of cars, and you could move around town fairly easy on a bicycle and not have too much trouble with that. You know, and if you wanted to venture out on some of the country roads, you could also do that. But mainly the people that were riding recreational around here were, you know, just going around town, one place to another, one side of town to the other, and, you know, from, you know, downtown by the courthouse, maybe out to Montclair, and or vice versa type of riding is what you were kind of looking at. And really not a lot of, you know, nowhere near the amount of trails and types of riding that you could get in. You know, you can get on a trail in Edwardsville now probably just about, you know, within a mile of any house, so, you know, a lot more accessibility now than there was back then to lengthy riding.
So let's talk about road bikes a little bit, because, you know, I'm a big fan of steel road bikes and old road bikes, and when I go into the bike shops here in town, I see a lot of carbon and I see a lot of really expensive bikes. I'm just curious, what were some of the road bike brands? I mean, you were working at pedal shop at the height of the bike boom, at least the last bike boom. And so I'm curious what kind of brands you were selling, what the road bikes were like, and what kind of people were riding road bikes and where they were riding back in the 1980s when you were there.
Most of the brands that are still around today were, you know, were also around back then. You know, it kind of makes a cycle of itself. Of course, in the 80s, Schwinn bicycles were still probably your most well-known bike. If you asked anybody about name a bike brand, they would say Schwinn, and it's probably pretty much still true today if you ask a lot of people. But they, you know, there were some changes in the company and such, and they've kind of fallen off and out of the mainstream as much as they have been. But, you know, if you were going to talk about bikes, that's what you talked about were Schwinns back in the 70s and 80s. In the pedal shop, we carried the Schwinn bikes. We carried Raleigh bikes, which was an English company. We carried Panasonic bikes, which were out of Japan. And we also carried a French bike called Moto Bacan. And so those are the main brands that we carried. There were multiple other brands available in the market. Bianchi was available. Trek was just getting started. Specialized was just getting started at that time. And there was an array of Japanese bikes that were in the market also, small branded, private branded bikes that were being brought into the country too under names. Around here, one of them was Takara, was a Japanese bike that was being brought into the inn. So, you know, there was a lot of different brands that you could choose from. like I said, at that time in the early 80s, there wasn't a whole lot of technological advances going on. If you bought a bike in 1 year, and the next year there probably wouldn't be big changes in what was on the bike or something. Maybe they might change a color, and that might be the big change. But seems like about the mid-80s came along, and the technological advances started really kicking in. They started using different frame materials, aluminum and titanium. They were experimenting with other stuff, plastics and carbon fiber. Not necessarily a lot of carbon fiber in the 80s, but that was more 90s coming in. But just that type of stuff, the technological advances were just every year coming on and coming on and making the bikes lighter, making them stronger, making them perform better. So, you know, they shifted better, they braked better, they weighed less, and their seats were more comfortable, just all those kinds of things for advances on the bikes. So big changes in that time were going on. So, but, you know, for people, normal people, you know, they didn't, and like I had stated earlier, there wasn't a lot of choices. You either bought a 10-speed bike with the turndown handlebars, or that's what's going to have multiple speeds, or you had more of a 3-speed kind of a bike with this upright type of a bike. So there wasn't a lot. So most people were choosing the 10-speed bikes. You know, it was just basic transportation, nothing super fancy or anything like that. So, and that's what you saw a lot of. You saw a whole lot of that type of a bike. You know, the $200 range bike was probably your most popular type of thing in the road bike at that time.
And what was the bike that you were riding? I know you did a lot of road riding. What were you riding, and where would you ride in Madison County?
When I wanted to go on longer rides, I actually had a Moto Bacan that I rode for a little bit longer rides. It had panniers and racks on it, so I could pack stuff and go if I wanted to camp or do overnight type stuff. That's a bike I rode for that. I also did some road racing in the 80s, and I had a Raleigh road bike that I used to race on for myself. Was what I had.
And when you bike camped, where would you go?
Oh yeah, we'd do maybe rides, like I set up to Pier Marquette and camp at Pier Marquette, or maybe just have friends that lived in the country and we'd ride from town out to the country type of thing, because you know you're 14, 15 years old, you can't drive, so how is she going to get anywhere but on your bike? So, you know, it was your transportation, and so, you know, that's what you did, that type of stuff. For training purposes around here, most of the people would, you know, you'd ride country roads, and sometimes it was a little dangerous. Some of the people out there weren't very friendly to cyclists, so you had to be very careful where you rode, when you rode, and such, but that's where you did most of your training, was outside the city on the country roads around here.
Gravel roads or paved?
Maybe blacktop and maybe some chat roads. That was pretty much what we were on. Most of the country roads were like that around here back in the 80s.
So, see, I find people generally pretty polite now when I ride out to Marine or ride out to Warden or Staunton, and I think that's maybe because they're used to a lot of bicycles on the road, but you found that, you know, the people out in the country weren't used to bicycles back then, and they weren't as friendly?
Oh, definitely weren't very friendly. That's probably one of the main reasons I stopped riding the road bike as much. It's for that reason, and I actually had switched over in probably the late 80s into actually doing mountain bike racing and riding, so it was a good reason to transfer over, just because of that reason. It was getting pretty bad around here with altercations with people out on country roads.
You got a story you want to share about an altercation out on the country roads?
There was so many different ones. You would get beer bottles thrown at you, and people would cuss at you out their windows and tell you to get off the road and go home and, you know, stuff. And, I've had some friends that got, you know, pushed off the road by cars and trucks. Had some pretty bad accidents, too, under that. Luckily, I never had that. Just, you know, people throwing stuff at you and yelling at you more than anything else. But, you know, it's kind of unnerving when you're riding your bike and they're in a big old pickup truck. It's a little unnerving when they're coming around you and throwing stuff at you and yelling at you.
Do you think people are more used to cyclists, or a little more accepting of cyclists nowadays out in the country, or have we all just gotten lucky?
Oh, I think they've. I think people have noticed it a little bit more, and I think they're more aware of the cyclists. And I think that there's the people that are living in the country aren't necessarily as country as they used to be. So the people that are living out in that area are a lot more acceptant of bicyclists.
So you mentioned you switched over from road cycling to mountain bikes.
I got a tab there.
Primarily because of some danger out there in the country. So you want to tell me about mountain bikes in the 80s and what it was like out here, what the bikes were like and where you would ride and what it was like to ride out in this area in the 1980s on single track?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a lot of fun because it was something completely new and different than anything that you've seen. You know, and I was a former BMX guy, so it was a little bit more familiar for me to be off the road and riding in the dirt. But it was just a blast. We really much you'd try to find anywhere you could off road to go ride. It was a lot of times they were just starting to abate the railroad tracks, so you had some of that area to ride on. So it was more of a single track muddy area to ride on some of that. You found some old motorcycle trails in the woods that had been around for a long time. There used to be some off of old Schwartz Road. There's an old coal mine back there that you could go back and try. There were some trails hanging back in there that we'd ride. There used to be also some trails back off of Plum Road area. There used to be an area back there where there was an old motorcycle track that was back there, and also some trails cut into the woods by motorcycle riders, off-road motorcycle riders, so we'd find those. But the best trails were out at SIU on the campus. They were called the Sweet William Trails. They were, I guess the best way to put it, they were up on the bluff across from the soccer stadium. They were on that side of the campus versus where they are now on the other side of there. But there was a ton of trails cut into there. I believe they were originally cut for the biology department out at SIU, and they were doing studies in the woods out there for different botanical, if I'm saying that right, yeah, type of things. And so those trails were all cut, and the mountain bikers found them and started working on them a little bit, made them a little bit bigger, and did some improvements on them. And they got a ton of use, but eventually you had some people that mistreated them and would go out and ride on them when they shouldn't have been riding, when it was wet, muddy, and nasty, and I thought that was a lot of fun to tear them up. And so eventually the university had to shut those down just because they were unsafe and they were doing a ton of damage to that area, so the science people couldn't use the trails anymore for their studies that they wanted to either, so they shut down. But I believe within the last probably 8 years or so that they developed another set of trails on the other side of the campus, I guess the north side of the campus, that are trails now, and those are really nice setup. They kind of connect up with the cross country course and stuff like that, so that's actually a really nice place to ride also.
And these are rigid mountain bikes you guys are riding, right?
Oh yeah, there was no suspension on these. These were basically some of them were modified road bikes or whatever, or modified BMX bikes made in to put some gears on them, let them go. I mean, the original mountain bikes that came out from manufacturers were super heavy and they weren't really very durable and such. But they said that technology stuff kicked into that part of the bicycle industry too, and they started developing lighter weight, stronger materials and stronger bikes. And then probably in the early 90s is when suspension started kicking in. You had your first bikes offered that had suspension on them. So it was front suspension. Wasn't very lightweight either. It added even more weight to the mountain bike if you even needed that. But it did make the ride a lot nicer. So
were you one of the first adopters of mountain bike riding in the area? Like, were you doing that kind of stuff even before Pedal Shop had them, or did you get your first mountain bike when Pedal Shop got the first mountain bike?
I got my first mountain bike from the shop. It wasn't anything that I put together and just made, but it was a production bike. It was a Raleigh production bike that I bought, but it was you know, it was in its beginning years, and everybody, I said, every manufacturer had bikes, had mountain bikes and different stuff going on with them. And I think even the industry really didn't realize that how big it was really going to get. For, you know, 10, 15 years, that's what everybody was wanting to buy. Everybody wanted a mountain bike. They wanted the fat, knobby tire bikes, and, you know, they wanted to be more durable. They could jump off of curbs and, you know, whatever they wanted to do with it. So it became a really, really popular thing. I wasn't necessarily a pioneer in riding mountain bikes in the area. I mean, I was doing it. We were doing races, and it was just a group of us that were working in the shops and other avid cyclists. Some of the guys that were road bike racers wanted to do something in their off season, so that gave them something they could do, ride a different kind of bike. They weren't on the road. You go in the woods, a little more cover, not so cold, and you still get a good workout. So it was a good crossover activity, plus it was just a lot of fun.
I got just one last question for you, Paul, and you can decide whether you want to answer it or not. But I heard a story about you, some friends, a BMX bike, ice on Cougar Lake, and SIUE officers. Are you willing to relate any of this story?
Oh, my goodness. That's probably that's a long, long, long time ago. Yeah, I might say I was involved in that. There was a large group of people there on Cougar Lake, yes. We no harm, no foul. So.
Were there any arrests?
Not that I know of.
And did anyone end up in the water?
Nobody ended up in the water. The water was solid.
Good. That's good to hear. Well, this has been Jason Stacy interviewing Paul Brazier on bike culture in the 1980s in Edwardsville and Madison County for Madison Historical, the online encyclopedia and digital archive of Madison County. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
Talk to you later.